This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name's Steve Brooks. Today I'm at Alteryx Inspire with Alan Jacobson, Chief Data and Analytics Officer for Alteryx. Hello, Alan.
Hi, thank you for having me, Steve. As the Chief Data and Analytic Officer, I have a couple of different roles that I play. The, I'd say, traditional CDAO role, I have both internal responsibilities to leverage data science to help advance the business, whether that's doing market attribution models or helping automate 606 accounting, a number of data science endeavors internally. I'm also working with our customers to help them go on their digital transformation journeys, meeting with either other CDAOs at customer companies or people that have similar mandates and helping them go on that journey themselves. That is one role. The other role is bringing data science into our products, helping our product and engineering team from the line of sight of a data scientist, helping bring new capabilities and new features into the product. One of our recent acquisitions, Feature Labs, grown out of MIT, is a group that is now working under my direction.
Alteryx drink their own Kool-Aid, drink their own champagne, probably is a better analogy. What difference have you made internally? What are the business cases you can share that actually Alteryx have benefited from?
There are a number of projects that we're working on internally. One example is analyzing our customer behavior to try to understand if they are flourishing or if they're struggling, so we can make sure that we're putting the right support onto the account. And so we can understand their adoption rates compared to other companies. We can understand what training they're taking, things of that nature. And by doing analysis on that, we can make sure that we provide them the right support.
And in terms of outcome measurements from that, because clearly that probably plays into things like retention, I would imagine.
Absolutely. So we can measure retention rates, but we can also look at, are they getting back onto that healthy path or not, comparing the path that they were on to the new trajectory that is set after we intervene.
You talked about some changing internally. Are there any quantifiable successes you can share?
So one of the big changes that the company had to make as we grew is moving to 606 accounting practices. Very difficult process to do, especially if you're going to try to do this in a spreadsheet, and we had to do it very quickly. And we did it at a period of time where we were actually changing auditors to make it even more challenging. But as we went on that journey, we redid that entire process in Alteryx. Certainly, it could have been done without Alteryx. I'm not sure it could have been done as accurately without Alteryx. That would be an example of one of the big successes we've seen.
Earlier on, you spoke about the evolution of the chief data officer through the CDAO through to the transformation officer. Does that just show how important actually the business and cultural changes are the hardest aspect of digital transformation, or is there more to it?
Change is hard, whether it's digital or not. And so when companies endeavor to go on these transformation efforts, the digital part usually comes quickly. They find tools that can speed up their processes, enable them to do things that they couldn't do before. And Alteryx certainly is fitting that. We see companies having great success with it. But simply having the tool doesn't spell positive transformation in and of itself. We have customers that take the tool and maybe automate an existing process, and that gets maybe one step up. They're faster at doing what they were doing before. But to get to that next step where maybe you change the process, make it into a better process that's enabled based on this data and analytics that you're running, it's a much, much larger step. It's a much harder step. And it's not simply harder because of the math. It's frequently much harder because of the cultural impact, the actual change of a business process being very difficult.
Some of those business challenges are helped through with SIs, giving more management consultancy practice, no doubt. But how does Alteryx help on that journey?
Certainly some companies do bring in consultants who are very good at change management, and that's certainly a skill of a data scientist is change management skill. When you look at the Venn diagram of what makes a world-class data scientist, frequently you see consulting skills with numeracy, statistics, some computer engineering capability, ability to programmatically get a computer to do your will when it comes to the math. But consultancy is certainly a huge skill. And while some companies bring in SIs, others do it internally. Frequently, the difficulty is figuring out who is going to be the leader of that change within the company. Is it going to be under a CDO? Do you have a digital transformation officer? Is it sitting under Office of Finance or some other function? Figuring that out for most companies is a big first challenge that they need to contend with in order to make that journey.
Is there a best practice?
So I've seen success happen different ways, so I'm not sure there's a single best practice. From my line of sight, and again, maybe this is biased based on my personal experience, but having a chief data and analytic officer by whatever title, whether it's a CDO, CDAO, chief transformation officer, but actually having somebody chartered with bringing your organization on that digital transformation journey is absolutely critical. Thinking that you'll get it by asking everybody to simply get better at that is usually not a recipe that I see working successfully.
And how important is the CEO in this?
I've seen it work as a CEO mandate, but to be fair, I've seen it work as a CFO mandate. I've seen it work with the chief operating officer driving it. It's critical that someone with a business outcome be responsible for it. So at the end of the day, data science is all about solving problems. So you need a line executive in the company that has some of those problems to be engaged and to be driving the effort.
The senior sponsorship's key, basically.
Absolutely.
One of the things we're seeing a lot, hearing a lot about is change. Change is constant. As those industries change, so do the data sources evolve. What approach should companies take to data dictionaries, for example?
Data dictionary, I will confess that I am not an avid reader of dictionaries, and I'm pretty sure most of your listeners probably aren't out reading dictionaries on a regular basis. And so it goes. I think the purpose of data dictionaries for software developers may be important, and if fundamentally data dictionaries need to be built in the process of building software, that's all good and well. But most of the time when I've gone to work on real-world business problems, data dictionaries have not been very helpful. Frequently, they're not kept up to date. Even when they are kept up to date, they don't usually have the business context that is so critical in being able to leverage the data to its maximum potential. Many alternate solutions are starting to come into the market. Alteryx uses a Connect product that uses more of a social means of trying to codify the meaning behind the data in your systems. It allows users of the data to be able to put star ratings to the data that they're using and to be able to comment on the data. And through that social mechanism, more like a LinkedIn for data, people can figure out who would know something about this data, who might I call to understand if this is the right data to be using or not, things of that nature. And that I find much, much more useful when I'm solving real-world business problems. If I can find the right person to talk to, that quick conversation has always been worth more to me than trying to read the 30-page data dictionary that probably wasn't updated for the last several years.
Does that also flag the importance of the data?
Does it flag the importance of the data in terms of a specific field in the data set? Again, it's more of this social method of leveraging data. So one of the things Connect will do is it'll show you where the data is being used and how it's being used. And you could argue that usage sometimes is helpful in understanding the importance. Clearly, if nobody's using it, might not be as important than if everyone's using a piece of data. So certainly it has that element. All of this technology still comes back to the human. And so what Connect is really doing, as the name implies, it's connecting the people in the process. So frequently when I find a piece of data that I'm interested in, what I really want to know is who can I talk to about it? And that's really what the Connect product focuses on almost more than here's a glossary entry in a data dictionary written by a developer when the software was developed, most likely, of what they intended for the field to be used for. It might not actually even be used for that.
You recently acquired Feature Labs. They bring feature engineering to Alteryx. Can you explain a little about what feature engineering is?
Feature engineering is a way to augment a data set to try to get more insight for it. Frequently, it's used in modeling. And I'll describe maybe the two major ways that people will feature engineer a data set. One is simply with mathematical transformations. Let's say we're trying to predict sales of a product, and we have the transaction dates of historical customer transactions in the data. And what we can do with those dates is try to predict, are certain dates more likely or less likely for a sale to occur? And if all we give the model is simply the date, it may be difficult to pick up weekends versus weekdays. Yet we can mathematically convert the date to an extra column of data that says weekday or weekend, very simply. And so that would be a feature being engineered into the data set simply with mathematical transformation. No new data was really added. It was simply a transformation of the data. And that new feature, weekday versus weekend, could be very predictive of, let's say, sales. Maybe my product sells really well on the weekends, and so that is a very important feature to understand what's happening with sales. A very different kind of feature engineering is data augmentation, where maybe I have the postal code of where the customer is from, and I can augment the data with average income by postal code. Maybe it's a census file or it's a Experian file that shows me average income for a postal code. And by augmenting my data set with average income, that becomes very predictive of which customer is going to maybe buy my product or not buy my product. In that case, I'm using data that wasn't originally in my data set. It's no longer simply a mathematical transformation, it's augmentation. And so feature engineering largely is made up of those two types of transformations of your data set to give it more meaning, more predictive power.
And that augmentation, we spoke about this earlier, it isn't necessarily just the fact that you're bringing in another data set. You can take it to another level, can't you, whereby that data set in combination with your existing one can highlight more insights.
In the case of postal code and income, maybe all you needed in the end was income. The postal code wasn't telling you anything else, perhaps. But perhaps you had other data in your data set, weekend, weekday, other things that were also predictive, and so it's the combination of these two or many things.
Weather and weekend, people might buy barbecue equipment, which they won't do during the weekday.
Exactly. So if it's the weekend and you make more than this amount of money, now we really know that you're likely going to be in the market to buy that barbecue.
You spoke about modeling. You're showing assisted modeling tomorrow in beta. That takes some of the tool sets you have closer to the citizen experts than it has been before. Feature engineering does the same. Alteryx has a huge footprint, 33% I think, in the global 2000. Is that like to move more mid-market who don't necessarily have the data scientists but have got those citizen experts? And will we start to see you pitching into that kind of market?
We're already there. We're very popular below the Global 2000. It's used in every industry today. That growth, I think, will continue at both ends of the marketplace. You'd be surprised at how many of the Global 2000 don't have formal data scientists fundamentally as part of their teams. Many of the customers that are here this week, I think you'll find that if you ask them, how many data scientists do you have? They'll first look at you confused, wondering, what is a data scientist? Am I one? Am I not one? Do we have them? Do we not have them? Many companies don't have formally necessarily data scientists on their team.
You talk about being in different industries and you have industry specializations. You're now building templates not just for the macro industries. You build them into the micro verticals within those industries now. When can we expect to see those?
Yeah, so we already have a number of templates largely built by our customers. We've built some of them, but a huge percentage of them built by our customers and shared. What's happening there is people in the Office of Finance, people in manufacturing and retail are actually sharing their workflows, their logic. They're not sharing their data, but they're saying, hey, look, I built a customer churn model. Here's how I did it. Here's the recipe. And if you want to build a customer churn model, you're welcome to start with this. We are going to continue to accelerate the pace that we foster that and develop some of those on our own to help accelerate our customers on the journey.
What are the challenges faced by your customers and how they're evolving today?
Yeah, so as I said when we opened up, I think the biggest challenges tend to be cultural ones. They tend to be less about the technology. Here at the conference, there are a bunch of classes going on all day today, and people are learning the concept in hours. We're taking business analysts who've never built a model before. Now they're building neural networks and random forest models. They're quickly able to leverage the technology. The bigger challenge, frequently when they go back to their companies, is to be able to implement those things within their company. How do they get business processes to adapt and change? Who are their champions to go challenge the way that business is being done today and help really accelerate that digital transformation? Frequently, when I talk to customers that are here, it's that cultural aspect. It's how are their careers being fostered? Is there a data science organization that they can be a part of so that they have the correct mentorship and tutoring along the way so that they can grow their careers? And at the end of the day, I think that's the bigger challenge for most companies.
That mentorship is missing. Is the Alteryx community able to deliver some of that mentorship?
One of the things that I think is wonderful about the data science community is how much of a community there really is. The Alteryx community, with over 100,000 users participating, is just a phenomenal place for like-minded data science-minded professionals to be able to not just share best practice from a technology standpoint, but they'll talk about their careers and the cultural types of challenges that they're struggling with. And it's a wonderful thing to see how everyone is lifting each other up and sharing in the journey.
Does Alteryx helping to create the business case? Because it's great saying we've got this great tool, we can collect all this data and we can show you how to deliver business value. They need to identify what the outcome is. But do you help build the business case?
Yes, we have a few different ways that we're helping companies go on that journey. In our community, where people have shared successes, they have, in some cases, business cases laid out. And there's no better place than hearing, not from Alteryx, but from another customer who's been exactly in your shoes. But that's one place. A second area that we were helping customers is through a value engineering exercise. So we do meet with customers and we'll go through a value engineering exercise to help them understand what some of the top use cases that they might want to go after would look like and what types of returns they might expect from that. We have engaged in value engineering exercises with customers to help them do that.
Are they generally more iterative improvements rather than complete transformations?
It depends on the company. So for Office of Finance, we have here the top 25 or so use cases that we've seen be very successful in the Office of Finance. One company might look at using analytic forecasting as a complete transformation of the way that they were doing forecasting. Another company, that might just be a minor evolution to what they were already doing. So it probably depends more on where that company is coming from than what the use cases are.
What are the first steps a company should take on this journey?
There are a few different prongs that have to be there. You have to have the right technology. You're not going to digitally transform your company on a spreadsheet. So there are some technology choices that you're probably going to need to make sure that people are armed with modern day analytic tools. There obviously is some cultural pieces, and frequently the first step there is figuring out who's driving this bus, who's going to be responsible for the digital transformation of the company. That's a big decision that companies need to make. And then there's the mission. What problems are we trying to solve? What are we going after first? Usually most companies don't, we're going to digitally transform every area of our business all at once. Usually they're going to start with one, two, or three areas. Is Office of Finance actually where we're going to start? Is it going to be in the accounting back office that we're going to automate processes? Or are we going to pick an area where we spend a lot of money? Maybe it's in marketing and sales and doing marketing attribution models and things of that nature because there's a lot of money tied up in the business in that area. Or if it's a manufacturing company, is it predictive maintenance and it's the efficiency of the plant? Picking the mission, at least the initial mission of what you're going to go after, having the right people responsible for it and driving it, and the right tech in place. If you can get those three things right, I think it's very unlikely you fail. The technology is so much better than it was before. So many people have gone on this journey already and had great success. It's hard for me to believe that most businesses can't have success on this journey.
Where have companies got it wrong?
It's frequently in those ingredients. I've seen many a company who don't have a mandate to go do this. You've got some random folks trying some stuff without the appropriate support. They have the wrong technology. If you get these ingredients wrong, as you can imagine, you can be burning a lot of calories and not getting very far on the journey. And unfortunately, we too see that frequently. So for every one of those success stories, we certainly see some people who haven't gotten the equation quite right yet.
And if they want to adopt Alteryx as one of the components of that transformation, is there a best way of doing that in the first instance or starting that journey?
Certainly, again, depends on where you're coming from. Depending on where your organization currently is, do you have an organization set up to help drive this or not? These things will matter. We've seen companies that, and this is probably the most common Alteryx story we hear from customers, they download a free trial for a couple of weeks. It's a line of business analyst. They get great ROI in the 2-3 weeks that they're using the product. They end up buying a couple of seats. They show the team next to them. It's a few more seats. They then have these very powerful stories of return on investment and how wonderful this is. That message starts making its way towards the C-suite. somebody has the aha moment and goes, finally, we're now doing it. Here's digital transformation. How do we accelerate this? How do we go faster? And that's the story we frequently see with Alteryx at companies all over the world, whether it's in Europe, in the US, it's in Asia. The same story repeats itself again and again.
That echoes with a conversation I had with Branson, one of your customers earlier today, in the sense that actually that's not always the best approach either, because they did exactly that. They brought a few licenses, but they suddenly realized they had to put governance in place. So they had to bring in the Alteryx server to put that governance in place and actually take a step back. Where is that point on that journey? Where is the point where it becomes that citizen initiative to become a more corporate and actually transfer to put that governance in place?
Certainly you can get there much faster if from the top down and the bottom up, everyone wakes up tomorrow and says, clearly digital transformation is important. Clearly to be relevant as a company in the next decade, we need to be analytically competent. We need best in world tools. We need to bring our people on that journey, and they put the right structure and off they go. Certainly if that could happen at day one, you're going to get to the destination faster than if not. But that's not always the case. Still companies that need to see the data on project-by-project ROI. I find this to be interesting. Most finance organizations aren't today having to justify themselves with what is the ROI of the finance organization. You know, most organizations know they need a finance organization. Most organizations would say the same thing about HR. We need an HR organization. We're going to have one, and there's no ROI measurement of that organization. I don't think we're completely there for many organizations waking up and recognizing we need data science centers of excellence, whether it's a CDO title or a digital transformation officer. We're not quite there yet. And so the need sometimes for this bottom up, people downloading a free trial and proving the value, not just of the software, but of digital transformation in and of itself, is still unfortunately necessary at many places. I hope I wake up one day in the near future and we measure ROI not to prove that the existence of the organization is necessary. We measure ROI just as being good data scientists, measuring the outcomes of our experiments and continuously making those get better and better. We're not there yet.
Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you.